swallows up Australia's gladiators will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we need a Hoover, a vacuum, a broom, a porta broom, a big broom, a toilet broom, anything, because, yeah, it's the end of sweeps, baby.
It's the end of sweeps. We have winners. We have a ton of... We have a master, or is it mistress? Who knows? On Jeopardy. We have a winner in The Amazing Race. We have Drag Race All-Stars. And yes, they did something right, Gordon, didn't they?
They did. And the whole world is better for it. They did play Season 9 like Season 7. And we'll get to that later on in the show. And we'll also get to a toilet later on in the show. But let's start because Chico needs to go to bed.
Yes, I do. Then the gremlins are going to come and get me like in Mario Brothers. From somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go!
Whee!
Welcome to episode, is it 445 or 446?
It is 446. 446.
Of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here on 5-1. My name is Jason Block, suffering through seasonal allergies, but making it here with my brothers from another mother, Gordon and Chico. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm doing all right. Are you taking your Zyrtec? Are you getting your
I have Allivert. I'm using my Allivert. Are you
using your Flonase? You got them up. You got it all up in there.
Got it up all in there. But we have a winner in Survivor, so let's get right to it. The final five immunity challenge. You had the final five, which were Kenzie, Liz, Maria, Ben, and Charlie, had to go through a series of obstacles. Then use a rope to drop a bridge to get a key to unlock puzzle pieces. Once they solved the puzzle, they would get a combination lock combination. And once they found that, you bang the gun and get reward, which is as well as immunity, which was sanctuary with pasta, Caesar salad, garlic bread, wine, and soda. Okay.
And trust me, you're going to need all the carbs you can get for the finale.
Right. So everybody eventually gets to the puzzle, and the puzzle basically says, count the number of puzzle pieces, geckos, and holes in the plank. And they go, what plank? And they go, all the way out there, back there. But then Liz knows she ain't winning. Maria is getting there, but she's like, screw this, I'm helping Kenzie. And Kenzie wins with Liz's help, and Kenzie takes Ben to sanctuary because Liz is allergic to the pasta.
Oh, that makes sense.
So we all knew that it was Maria's time, and Maria was out 4-1.
Yep. Which is a really, really bad play at this point.
Yeah, Maria was your ticket to the million.
Right.
Absolutely, without question. And I know everybody's like, Maria's playing good social game. No, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
You needed to take Maria, and someone is going to regret that move greatly. Jason, continue.
I kid you. So the final four immunity challenge was a nasty twist on the ball loop puzzle. This was awesome, okay? So all the players had to do was solve a Survivor logo puzzle, right? Wrong.
But while they're solving the puzzle, they have to toss a ball up a ramp and don't let it hit the track at the bottom.
Because it will slow the ball down immensely to the point of, like, the ball travels as far as the sloth and used in the DMV in Zootopia. Okay?
I understood that reference.
Good. And by the way, this was a brilliant twist on this, and the man who needed to win won. Ben wins his immunity, what accounts, right? Okay. So what does he do? He takes Charlie to the finals, okay? And then Liz and Kenzie have to make fire. Kenzie makes the fire. Liz is out, so it's Ben, Charlie, and Kenzie.
And you notice that Ben actually planned it that way because he didn't want Liz in the final three. He didn't want Liz. Liz got upset because she's competing in fire making, and rightly so because, you know, that's one less step toward the million.
Right.
Yeah, if you're Ben, you almost needed to see everybody go, but you really needed to see Liz go. Because Liz played a good social game, and maybe grabbing on people's heartstrings, she could have been a dark horse to win the million.
Right. So, as expected...
So, not a bad option. I'm not sure if I would have put Liz up there against Kenzie, but...
Well, no, I would have put it against Charlie. I would have made Charlie earn it. But Charlie, if he would have made fire, he could have won. But you know what? He didn't. Charlie and Kenzie.
Well, I never got the opportunity.
No, Liz was. No, the final three were Kenzie, Charlie, and Ben. Liz did not get
it. And my point was that Charlie never had the opportunity to get fire.
No.
Because he wasn't playing.
Correct.
Yes.
But
so now we go to the final tribal council, and fast forwarding through all the arguments, we have one last plea. Charlie says he always wanted to keep his options open, talking about strategy and how he got to the final three. Kenzie says she's a social butterfly, which I believe is the first time she's ever admitted it, and competed in every challenge in the game. Ben says he wants to be himself. Even though he's had hard times, he played the game he wanted to play, and he's glad to have met him all. Good for you. So, Soda and Hunter...
That's basically him saying, give the money to somebody else.
Thank you! So, Soda and Hunter... vote for Charlie. Q and Tiffany vote for Kenzie. So we're already at 2-2. Then we're at 3-3. Then we're at 3-4. Then we're at 3-5. Congratulations, Kenzie. Not only an expectant mother, but also the sole survivor of Survivor 46.
Yay! Yeah.
Now we can put the season to bed, really.
I like the season better than you guys did. I would have, and again, I would have, if I was Ben, you let the two alphas go up against it, I absolutely would have put up Charlie in there somewhere to take out Kenzie at this point or Liz. But Ben was not going to win. Yeah, he wasn't. Charlie had the outside shot, but I also think Charlie really hurt himself in the final tribal council.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did. Like I said, Kenzie won. She won't be remembered as a really big winner. I'm sorry. I did not like this season at all. I thought the players were dumb. No. Well, yeah, I know. Sarcasm.
Wait, and then we'll move on here. But how can you say the players were dumb? Kenzie was on Chico, correct me if I'm wrong here. Kenzie was on the Yanu tribe, and Kenzie was on the tribe that lost the first three challenges, if I remember correctly.
And the one that, Kenzie was on the Yanu tribe that, kept losing.
So it was at this point, you had Kenzie and Q, and Kenzie played a really good game. Obviously, there's three, but Kenzie played a really good game using their position of weakness at Yano as a position of strength and teaming up to knock off Sega piece by piece by piece. And again, she played a great game, almost sort of Sandra-esque in terms of it. I think Jason, I believe, what your point is, and you're not wrong, is that the people in power didn't play like they were in power, and they made a whole bunch of mistakes, and then you had somebody like a Kenzie, who should not have been anywhere near the finals, wind up winning the whole thing, because she took advantages of the mistakes made by the people that were supposedly in power. Would that be the vibe that you're
that
getting?
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely on the money, because when you have four people in a row, and we talked about it last week, and then we will move on, leave with idols in their pocket, it's column A and column B. We will see what happens in the fall, because I believe the season 47 and 48 are filming or have filmed already.
They are in various stages of production right now for the next season. But you know, all the stuff that happened, especially in leading up to the end game and the end game itself, that's just Survivor.
It's true.
It's great about Survivor. It's a social experiment game, and there's so many different ways to win Survivor. There's so many different ways to play it. That's what makes each season fun within its own right. Anyway, moving on.
So let us go from the Dominican. Let us stay in the Dominican Republic as we need to talk about the finale of the Amazing Race. Okay. So in the final episode, the team started from a catamaran in Sosua Beach in groups of 15 minutes apart based on the order of their arrival. The final detour was a choice between dive trip or rum sip. In dive trip, they had to assemble four dive rigs and load them onto a boat to receive their next clue. In rum sip, he's had to memorize six rum rig orders and make them to receive their next clue.
I understood all of that, strangely enough.
We all have been. Then they take...
Either Jay was cursing, like, was talking like a pirate, or he had a little bit too much of that rum sick.
I was talking... Yes, I did. Anyway,
yeah, I see
so
what
in,
you
the,
did there.
In the roadblock, yeah. One team member had to... Right, and one team had to windsurf for 1 minute in order to receive their next clue. The teams had to travel to Olympus Beach, which instructed them to travel by Dune Gubby to the pit stop, Wilson's Bar in La Boca. The winner was Rod and Leticia, who went a trip to Rome, Italy. Yeah.
What?
Ricky and Cesar went to third.
What?
Juan and Shane were second, and Amber and Vinny were eliminated. So we go
to
the...
They were on the doorstop, and they got stopped.
Right. So we go from the Dominican Republic to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And they began their final leg simultaneously at the Rocky Steps. They had to drive to the home of the Philadelphia Eagles.
He's still on that rum shot from last week.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He spelled it correctly, except he didn't do E-A-S-U-C-K.
Right, exactly. Suck, right? In the roadblock, one team member had to don a globe mascot costume and navigate an obstacle course and hit a target with a t-shirt cannon in order to receive their next clue from either Swoop, which is, I believe, the Eagles mascot,
correct,
the Philly Fanatic, which we all know who he is, they are from, we don't know what they are, and Gritty. Okay. Then they had to go and find their next clue between the two most potentially overrated cheesesteak houses, Pat or Gino's.
They're the cheesesteak palaces for non-locals. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's correct.
Jay's just hating on everybody today. He's hating on Survivor. He's hating on the Eagles.
Excuse me. Hold on. I love a good cheesesteak. Anyway, teams had to drive to Head House Square, where they had to memorize and recite the preamble of the United States Declaration of Independence, which to receive their next clue, which went to the Betsy Ross House, which I've been to, by the way. I've been to many times. The final robot, the other team member had to assemble a Betsy Ross flag that displayed the names of the 13 colonies in order they became states to receive their next clue. And then they had to travel on foot to the Arch Street Friends Meeting House, which I believe a friend of mine got married there. And then they had to assemble a three-dimensional Liberty Bell puzzle to receive their final clue, which was the finish line, which was the Glenn Ford Estate, not F-O-R-D, but F-E-O-E-R-D. And the winners, not surprisingly, were Ricky and Cesar. Juana Chain was second. Rod and Letitia were third.
Yeah, just to run down everything that Ricky and Cesar won on this race.
Go for it.
Oh, Lord have mercy on me. Here we go. They have won a trip to South Africa, a trip to Singapore, a trip to Paris, a trip to South Korea.
Wow.
And $1,010,000.
Now here is the question, okay? Again, this is the last COVID season, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So do you think we will get more of a varied... Because, again, the two COVID seasons, were there two or three? I think there were three.
There were three as well.
But weren't they dominated for the most part, and there was very little room to catch up, per se?
Somewhat, sort of, yes. But so you have to remember, they filmed this like a year and a half ago.
True. So, again, we'll see. This is going to be amazing, right? Because they are renewed.
They are renewed, and our good friend Canadian Jason Hune, who covers Family Feud, which we'll talk about momentarily, has said that Amazing Race 37 has begun taping. It will begin at the new-ish Academy Museum of Motion Pictures in Los Angeles, and then they'll fly to Hong Kong, where they take cabs to the Tian Tan Buddha, and went to a clue box that was about 3/4 of the way up the 268 steps that lead to the Buddha's feet. And this afternoon, as we record this, they're flying from Hong Kong to Japan.
Right. Yeah.
And again, that this is all from Canadian Jason, our good friends at realityblurred.com, and the Amazing Race Hub community on Discord.
Right, so they are filming now, and it's going to... I don't know when they're going to show it. Oh, in 2025, so it's going to be a year from now, pretty much.
Yes, because remember, CBS is slotting Survivor and The Summit this fall, and in the winter, it'll be Price is Right at Night, Rate the Cage, and Hollywood Squares.
Okay, and then Survivor. Now it's time for Johnny Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Go for it.
Okay, so before we talk about Masters, we need to talk about a master in the making. A man who is sitting down to quiz, and you can't jive him for that. A man by the name of Grant DeYoung. He rocked out 4 wins over the past week with a total of $81,203 to show for it. Tuesday, he meets Sam Spar from Burlington, Vermont, and Chris D'Amico from Lakewood, Ohio. Going into the final, it is a horse race. Grant has $12,400, Chris has $12,600, Sam can spoil with $3,400, and this final Jeopardy in the movies. The clue. Louise and Lisa Burns, twins featured in this 1980 film, told the magazine, "We're naturally spooky." Oh,
ask
me
a hard one.
Pick me.
Oh, okay. Chico, what is it?
What is The Shining.
Yeah. Excuse me. No TV and beer makes Homer something.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do. Anyway, yes. It was. Yep. So what happened? Oh, Gordon, what was your answer, by the way?
My answer was, what are the earrings? Because it's not just the ring, because there's two of them, so earrings.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, okay. Were you a fan of Ringu, by the way?
Absolutely. And the okay. sequel.
I love
And the sequel after
that.
The sequel.
I love that. Okay, so here's what happens. Sam, everybody gets it right. Sam bets only about $2,000. Grant only bets $399. Probably wants to box out Sam, thinking Chris will get it wrong. Chris does not get it wrong. He bets enough to win $25,100. And Chris faces in tonight's match Ellen Klagus from San Francisco and Amar Kakirity from Lake Hiawatha, New Jersey. That's about where you are, isn't it, G? Lake Hiawatha, New Jersey?
Somewhere close to that.
Okay. Well, Amar locks it away with $15,600. So just for kicks and giggles, here's your final Jeopardy category. Countries, languages. About 70% of its people can speak Portuguese. About 20% can speak Umbundu. 8% Kikondo. And 8% Kumbundu.
I did not know. Go ahead, Chico. What is it?
What is Angola?
Yes, that is correct.
Because Angola, in the age of colonization, was a Portuguese colony.
Yes, up until 1976, I believe.
Yep. Amar is 1975, actually. But Amar is the only one who gets it right. They win $16,600, and they'll be back tomorrow.
But it is time to crown a master, a Jeopardy master. So we need to go and get from four to three. Talk about it.
All right. And to do that, we have to go back to the Monday matchup where we have to eliminate
Friday first.
Okay. Well, Friday we have our final four players, and that would be Amy Schneider. Matea's not there. Amy Schneider, Yoga Shrout, James Holzhauer, and Victoria Gross. So, let's talk about the first semifinal between James Holzhauer, Yoga Shrout, and Victoria Gross. Going into our first Final Jeopardy, Victoria has 18,000. Yogesh has 24,400. James has 13,000. The Final Jeopardy category, Native American Language. In 1612, John Smith published a Powhatan word list including these two words familiar to us today, one worn in pairs and one wielded. I got this. Pick me.
No, pick me this time.
Okay, you go.
Okay, fine. What are moccasins and a tomahawk?
Correct.
Yeah.
Gordon?
What is roasted pilgrims?
Good night, everybody.
Okay.
After game one.
I mean, I'm sure they taste great under glass.
I would not know. Yogesh Rout has 3 points for getting it right and winning. James has one. Victoria, hell of a climb with nothing there. Nothing down the back door. Let's talk about game two, Victoria against Yogesh and Amy. James has already more or less secured his spot in the finals. Now we just need to know who joins him. Going into the final, Yogesh has 13-2. Victoria has 27-200 and is locked. Amy has negative 3,000.
Oof.
Nothing on that side there. So it's a two-person final. We did. Let's go to the Final Jeopardy. Also seated at the circus. Here's your clue. FDR got credit for implementing this as a concept in the United States, and the metaphor was used by FDR Jr. running for office.
I didn't know there was an FDR Jr., actually.
I didn't know either.
But I did not actually know the term. I said what Victoria said, which was Big Tent. But I know the answer.
Gordon, the correct answer?
What is It's the Economy, Stupid?
Well?
No, that would be James Carville, 1992. Anyway. Yeah, because I am a learned...
I thought that was The Rent is Too Damn High.
No, that's a different... No, that's whatever that other guy's name is. It is What is a Safety Net?
Yes, it is.
The safety net, if you know your circus terms, is the thing that is under the High Wire Act and the Trapeze Act, I believe.
Correct. In the off chance that
the performer messes up. And doesn't go splat.
Right. So... Now we go to Mondays.
Oh, by the way, who won? Who won that?
Oh, yeah. Victoria won. She has 3 points. Yogesh has 4 for his second place finish with 1 point. And Amy has nothing. So it's pretty much do or die on Monday as we start play with James, Victoria, and Amy. Going into the final, Victoria has 10-8, James has 21-4, Amy has 1,200 and is more or less playing for pride.
Right.
Final Jeopardy category is Metallic Elements, The Clue. As it's rarely found in pure form, one explanation of its name is that it comes from Greek for not alone or not one.
I had no clue on this. Zero.
This isn't so much a science question as it is a language question. Not
okay.
Anti.
Oh, antimony. Monos. Right? Antimony.
Antimony, yes.
Damn. Okay.
Gordon?
I had, what is Adam and Eve? Because it's okay. Not singular, it's plural.
Oh, jeez. Anywho,
if you want, I can go with what is roasted pilgrims, plural. If you
prefer
that's fine. Amy was wrong; she bet nothing. Victoria was right; she bet nothing. James was wrong, and he bet enough to keep him in the hunt. Victoria has 5 points at this point, while James has 4. Amy. All but out of it with nothing. Second game. James, Yogesh, and Amy going into the final. James has 32,000. Yogesh has 24,800. And Amy has 8,200. And the final Jeopardy category for this one is 21st century literary characters. The last name adopted by Damon Fields, the title character of this novel, referred to his red hair.
Okay, well, all right. I didn't know about this, but what is Demon Copperhead, actually?
Correct.
I did not know this, by the way. I had no clue.
Gordon, you want to add something to this?
So, basically, if you're looking for red hair, you only have one response here. What is red herring?
Okay. So, we get to the final, which is the final we thought we were going to get, which is Victoria Grosch, James Holzhauer, and Yogesh. The pre-final is Victoria has 25-2, James has 27-2, Yogesh 9,600. The final Jeopardy category is politicians.
And the as a reminder, this is a 2-game total point final.
Yes. This man was the first to be governor of one state and senator from another. 173 years later, Mitt Romney became the second. I had no clue. You had this one?
I had this.
Okay. So Houston was the governor of Texas. What was he the senator from?
Sam Houston was the senator. I'm trying to. Sam Houston was the president of Texas. He was a senator from Texas, but he was the governor of Virginia.
Wow, that's right. Okay. That's right. No, he was the governor of Tennessee.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't the governor of Texas.
Nope. Yogesh gets it right. He thought it was Jackie someone, but then it was Sam Houston. He doubles up to 19-2. James has 28-309. Victoria says, who is Johnson? Misses, but only bets 3,100. So it's 21-4 as we go to game two. Okay. Yogesh gets an early daily double to almost double up in round one. At the end of
the Jeopardy round, Victoria has 5,600 and Yogesh has 5,799 and James has 2,800.
Right.
And thanks to a really big daily double on Victoria's end, she's up to 29,200. Yogesh is, well, actually, she's locked this game away at the end of the round with 34,000. James has 8,800.
Yes.
And Yogesh has 15,799 after a miscue in a daily double, I believe. Anywho, going into the final.
Which means absolutely nothing, really.
Absolutely. But here is the category. American women. The New York Times wrote of this woman who had died in 1951. Though she was forgotten at the time, part of her remains alive.
And I did not know this, and this is actually one of the most important women in Black history, sadly. Who is Henrietta Lacks? And she was the woman who had her cells removed forcibly, if I remember correctly, for cancer research.
Yeah.
I think. Okay. Everybody got it right.
Yep. James wrote, who is Henrietta Lacks? Final boss death music.
And he went, yeah. There we go. Right on. Yogesh gets it right. Adds 10,911. Victoria gets it right. Hits nothing, but wins $500,000 as we have the Jeopardy mistress, queen of all quizzers.
All hail the queen, the smartest woman in America.
Exactly. Hey. And also, she donates $100,000 to a charity of her choice through Sony, by the way.
Yes, and by the way, thanks to our good friends at TV Line, we know that charity is Partners in Health.
Right. And also, those three will be back next year to defend the Masters title. Now, Gordon, who would you put in the third, besides the Tournament of Champions winner? Who would be the other two?
I mean, besides Victoria.
No. Victoria, Yogesh, and James, they come back no matter what.
Gotcha. So, well, I can do the right thing and say, Chico Alexander and Jason Block. Whee!
No.
Yeah, you could do that. You're not going to, but you could.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no chance that I'm doing that. You are correct on that, sir. There's so many good, talented people and doing this and discussing this. And part of me almost wants to say there's going to be at least one person after this season, because, hey, we're back to civilians, that we're going to be going, well, maybe we should think about this person.
Correct. And I will also say this, and I will be honest with you, I don't think Amy gets invited back next year.
So, you know, following up on what Jason says, you know, part of this is obviously the movement of people and the fact that you're looking for originality, and you need originality, you need diversity, you need people that have, let's just say, that have not only just done well, but now you need to give other people chances of stuff. And you have years and years and years and years and years of cataloging of people, or maybe you just hold another tournament and say top three people get to play Masters. Well, I wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah, that would be a really good play, but you know, the person who wins the tournament of champions, they automatically get invited, and new champions, like we said before, new champions are being bound every single year. We've had three so far in this season of Jeopardy, season 40. We've had Allison Betts, we have Amy Hummel, we have Grant DeYoung. You could see one of those in the Jeopardy Masters. Hell, you could see two, maybe three of those in the Jeopardy Masters. Because we always say, there's Masters, and then there are Masters being made every single day. So,
absolutely.
Hey, you know what? Jeopardy's the kind of show that loves to surprise you, and it would not surprise me if I am surprised when they name the six Masters to play next season of Jeopardy Masters.
I agree completely.
And now that I've thoroughly confused myself, let's go to something that is not as confusing, and that is Top Chef going native.
Oh, this was a fun episode. I enjoyed this immensely. And usually one of the things that I really love about this season of Top Chef is it
as much of a teaching experience. More than usual. I mean, it's always you learn about different cultures and you learn about different things based on region. But this has been a stronger season than usual on this, and the contestants are very strong. Unfortunately, two of them will not be strong enough.
Yeah, let's see what we got here. We got to start, as always do, with a quick fire. You have 30 minutes to produce creative dishes using a native ingredient, cranberries. Winner gets 10,000. Guest judge is fifth generation cranberry farmer Rochelle Hoffman. And the winner was Danny with his cranberry poached sea bass with cranberry banade. Now to the elimination challenge. You are going to create your own modern dishes incorporating indigenous ingredients. They're prohibited from using any ingredients that were not endemic to North America, including dairy, wheat flour, cane sugar, pork, beef, and chicken.
And let me put out a very important point here, Chico. Mm-hmm. For this episode, and starting from now on, your performance in the quickfire may help or not help you in terms of your elimination, because now they will hold that for you or against you. Remember this. This comes up later.
Yes. And, of course, also coming up, Tom and Gail are joining Kristen in judging the quickfire for the first time. And joining them to judge the elimination challenge are guest judges Elena Terry, Sean Sherman, and chefs Jessica Walks First and Bryce Stevenson. Winner will receive an advantage in the next elimination challenge. That winner was Savannah with her squash and maple jelly cake with aronia berries, grapes, and plum jelly. Unfortunately, we have two players who are eliminated, and that would be Amanda with her elk tataki tartare, confit mushrooms, pipián rojo, and duck fat tortilla, and Laura with her duck tamal wrapped in mustard greens with huckleberry sauce and haricots. Now, Gordon, you said that decisions made during the quickfire would come back and haunt contestants heretofore. Please explain yourself.
Well, you have Michelle and Lauren and Amanda all in the bottom in the elimination. In the quickfire, Amanda and Lauren were also at the bottom, and Michelle was at the top. And they said that is why Michelle is sticking around and why both Laura and Amanda are leaving.
All right. Well, that makes perfect sense. So we go from there to Last Chance Kitchen, a Top Chef classic, parts 1 and 2. Part 1, Kevin, Amanda, and Laura competed in a mise en place relay race presented with 15 different ingredients with an assigned prep task. The ingredients were available on first-come, first-served basis, and the contestants were required to complete 5 tasks each. their placement in the race determined their cook time for the second part of the challenge, which were create dishes using their prepped ingredients from the mise en place relay race. Because she won, Amanda has 30 minutes of cooking time. Kevin and Laura have 25 and 20, respectively. Two players will advance to the next round. Amanda had a citrus cake with Pernod Sauvignon, cheddar cheese frico, and brulee citrus. Kevin had chicken thigh and breast with confit onions, roasted corn, chicken, and mushroom bouillon. And Laura had grilled sea bass with kale and tahini spread, yellow harissa, and olive tapenade. Amanda and Laura move on. Kevin moves out.
Kevin is out. Tom says his chicken is a little bit overcooked. Kevin disagrees with it, but it really doesn't matter what Kevin thinks because it's what Tom thinks.
All right. So we move from the kitchen to the workroom because it is time for the beginning of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. Queens
All Stars,
the World. All Stars Season 9. Now, yeah. So, who do we have playing, first and foremost? We have Andrea Paris Van Michaels playing for the NBJC. That is the National Black Justice Coalition. Scott Mick playing for Trans Lifeline. Corhis playing for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Nina West playing for the Trevor Project. Plastique Tiara playing for the Asian American Foundation. Roxy Andrews playing for Miracle of Love. Chanel playing for the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. And Vanessa Vanji playing for the ASPCA. Our first challenge, the first mini challenge, the library is open. Roxy Andrews wins the mini challenge. And for the maxi, we have writing and performing original verses and choreography to the song Drag Queens Save the World. By the way, Roxy Andrews, for her win, she gets a $2,500 charity donation to her charity. On the runway, the category is signature look, signature fragrance, and joining the judges this week, Kiki Palmer, current Password host. We have two badges because nobody gets eliminated, but we award badges based on how you performed. And the top two queens this week are Andrea Paris Van Michaels and Horgius. They each get a badge. Now they get to lip sync for their legacy. And the song this week, you may like this. I think you actually have this on your mix there, Gordon. Million Dollar Bill Freemasons Radio Mix by Whitney Houston.
I do, actually. Now, the format of All-Stars 9 is exactly like the format of All-Stars 7. Nobody gets eliminated. You pick up one, in this case, it was a star. It's now badge. The three queens with the most number of badges get to lip sync for the title in the last episode. And if you win the lip sync here, you also get to pick a queen. In this case, you don't get a plunger, you get scissors, and you are cut from getting a badge in the next episode. Again, I love the format on what they do here. By the way, there is a second episode that also happened, but I love the format on what they do here. And it's fun, and there's no drama, unlike All-Stars 8, which I wish never existed.
Yeah, well, because everybody is a winner and nobody gets eliminated, it's a lot lighter competition. Granted, it is a competition, but it is a lot lighter, a lot free-spirited, a lot more chill. I could say that, right? It's a lot more chill.
It's a lot more chill, but I actually, if anything, I think that it actually ramps the competition up because now you don't have to be safe because you know you're not going home. So you can take risks. You can be out there. And if this first two episodes show anything, we are in for a treat.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Roxy Andrews got cut off, so she will not be able to win a badge in the paint paintball. Paintball. Anyway, you must present three looks for the paintball, including a painted look that is constructed in the workroom. The categories: monochromatica, drag imitates art, and paintball eleganza, using an artist of your choosing. They are: Andrea Paris Van Michaels has Pete Mondrian, Gottmik has Edvard Munch, Cortius has Pablo Picasso, Nina West has Tom of Finland, Plastique Tiara has Yayoi Kusama, Roxy Andrews has Salvador Dali, Chanel has Hokusai, and Vanessa Van G has Vincent Van Gogh. And after the looks are presented, by the way, the guest judge, Stephanie Hsu, who played Joy Wang and Jobu Tupaki in the feel-good film of 2022, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Winners, Gottmik and Plastique Tiara. They get to lip sync to Jump in the Line by Harry Belafonte. Gottmik won that and got to cut off Andrea Paris Van Michaels, which I think is a brilliant move because Andrea Paris Van Michaels, one of the stronger queens of the group, I think.
Well, not only that, she also won the first challenge. So you can't let anybody run away from you at that standpoint. So now, smart move. And again, this is starting to look like a lot of fun, which is great. That's what you want your All-Stars to be. The regular season of RuPaul's Drag Race, you want drama? Sure, I understand. I get it. You should. But All-Stars, let's have fun. This should be what All-Stars should be from now on. Just saying.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Okay. Not much time left, so we are going to go right into it. It is the champions' final level of the fastest 5.5 minutes in all of game shows. We call it the replay, and it starts in 3, 2, 1. We have a final five in The Voice. In fifth place from Team Dan and Shay, Karen Waldrop. Fourth place, Team John Legend, Nathan Chester. Third place, Brian Olsen from Team John Legend. From Team Reba, Josh Sanders is your runner-up. And the winner, and the historic winner at that, from Team Reba, Asher Havon, the first openly gay winner of The Voice.
And that is more time that we spent on The Voice now than we did the whole entire season.
Oh, you don't even know. American Idol has a winner. Congratulations, Abby Carter. I look forward to hearing you on the radio and then forgetting about you.
Just like The Voice.
Yeah. All right, Family yes. Feud. Family Feud, we start with the Bent Clips and the Richardsons. Bent Clips are the champions. They take $20,725 into season 26. And in the nightcap, we also have the Nakan from Thibodeau, Louisiana versus the Fetting. The Nakans win. They take Fast Money for $20,000 and will return when we shoot season 26, which we are currently doing. Price is Right at Night Jackpot Special. Adam is your big showcase winner. He started the show, the first one to come up and meet Drew, playing Let Him Roll for $100,000. He ends up with $10,000, which, you know, for 5 minutes work, it's not terrible.
No, it's not.
But in the showcase, he adds ski equipment, barbecue equipment, a trip to Japan, and a trip to South Africa. In total, he takes away $61,121. And So You Think You Can Dance has a winner, Anthony Curley from Phoenix, 19 years of age. Enjoy your $100,000. I don't think we see this show again.
We'll see him before you see the show. Is that what you're saying?
That is what we're saying. Big Money Week begins on Wheel of Fortune. Congratulations to Blake Swoboda, who is the first to hit the jackpot in the bonus round, because BetMGM is having a progressive jackpot all week. So he gets That's Baffling in the bonus round and wins an Infinity QX50 and a total of $96,750 in cash and merchandise. But we have a $1 million try on Wednesday, and it goes to Paul Dodson. And his puzzle was quibbling. It is a bonus puzzle for $1 million. It's not going to be easy.
No, it is not.
But he does not hit the million. He does hit the infinity. Now, I saw some time, so let's go over everybody who was on the season of The Masked Singer, including the winner. The book is Kevin Hart. Afghan Hound, Savannah Chrisley, Spaghetti and Meatballs, Joe Bastianich, Sir Lion, Billy Bush, Lizard, Cisco, Lovebird, Colton Underwood, Koala, DeMarcus Ware, Ugly Sweater, Charlie Wilson, Starfish, Kate Flannery, Miss Cleo Catra, Jennifer Lewis, Seal, Corey Feldman. I would have thought that would be Seal, but whatever. The Beats, Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard, Poodle Moth, Chrissy Metz, Clock, Thelma Houston, which sets up the showdown between Goldfish and Gumball. Goldfish beats Gumball. Gumball is... from Friday Night Lights, Scott Porter. And Goldfish is... from that god-awful Thunderbirds movie, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yay.
And now you know the rest of the story. And that is a replay. Stop the clock.
Whee! That was very good, Chico. I'm impressed.
That was the clock stopping. Okay.
I'm still very impressed.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's going to do it for Act 1, but still to come on the World's Strongest Game Show podcast, more fun with toiletries. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-1, your hope for We Love Twitter Up. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 science fiction and horror characters that will appear on The Masked Singer that you sort of wish didn't. For argument's sake, the singing Sharknado.
Oh, Lord. The singing Cyberman.
Cyberman's good. We can do Daleks.
Ooh,
we can do Alien. We can do Predator.
How about a singing Megazord?
Ooh, singing Megazord. Does that mean Rita Repulsa?
Ooh. But she doesn't have a mask.
Power mask singers.
Unless you count Robo Rita, she doesn't have a mask. That was on the Netflix special, by the way.
You could have Mecha Rita.
That was on the Netflix special.
We're sort of close to Margarita. Okay. Can you imagine that? The mask Margarita. Anyway, we'll be back after this.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun, and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong, and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
Brain Vision is presented by Walker Texas Game Show, because it's the only way that the CW will renew the show is to make it less expensive to produce. So either make it a game show or produce it in Canada. But whoever thought that Canada looked like Texas? Will it attract an audience? Probably not, because it's a CW show. That is Walker Texas Game Show. Jared Padalecki hosts.
I was thinking more actually NXT the game show. You know?
That would work too.
Shawn Michaels and Matt Bloom host, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't know, Houston's starting to look a lot more like Toronto every single day.
So does New York, by the way.
I see what you did there.
Uh-huh. So let's get some news, shall we? Because we covered a lot in that first segment, so.
We did, and now we're going to cover even more. Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
I thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. Don't forget to listen to him every Sunday on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com. That's the live stream, and of course, using the Odyssey apps and the Rock 104 app, available now at your favorite app store.
Why does the bats look like board games?
Not only board games, orange board games.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so last week after the show, after we were done with the show, the CW came out with their upfront. We have the schedule right here. And it begins on Monday with what they're billing as Family Game Night. And it starts at 8 with the long-awaited, long-in-development Trivial Pursuit hosted by LeVar Burton. And then at 9, we have Raven Simone hosting Scrabble.
What?
It is? True?
No. What? Her? Okay.
Hey, that was, you know what? A little bit of a Raven's surprise. Home is over.
Okay.
She needs work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, about the shows. A Trivial Pursuit is reimagined in a question-packed entertainment format. Gameplay takes place on the giant version of the board as contestants battle it out over a range of play-along question categories to win wedges and beat each other to the center. The victor then takes on a dramatic finale against the clock to claim the big money jackpot. It is produced by David Garfinkel, Gabriel Morano, Jan Demol, Matt Walton, and Matt Pritchard, and also LeVar Burton, who is hosting.
Okay.
A lot of good names attached to that show.
Oh yeah.
True.
A lot of names attached to Scrabble as well. It's a captivating, fast-paced take on a global board game phenomenon. Wordsmiths will battle it out over a series of addictive word games of skill and strategy to win points and master a giant Scrabble board in the center of the set. It is produced by David Garfinkel, Gabriel Morano, and Michelle Mendelovitz for Hasbro, the CW, Mattel, and Lionsgate. Meanwhile, elsewhere on the schedule, Tuesday, WWE NXT, Wednesday, The Return of Sullivan's Crossing and the new series Joan, Thursday, Superman and Lois, the final season, and the new series The Librarians, the next chapter, Friday, and you thought it was all over, we get more Whose Line Is It Anyway, followed by Inside the NFL. Saturday is Sports Saturday, and Sunday is Sunday Movie Night. It's a very cheap lineup. It's a very, I don't want to say cheap, I'd rather say cost-effective lineup.
Cost-efficient, I believe, is the word that you're trying to say.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. So that's pretty much all of the networks between last week and this. So,
I mean, keep in mind again, and you know, we're talking about strike programming, and yet it's still there because it's still in the can. I mean, you have networks that still have years of strike programming, and we're going to talk about this later in terms of, and I mean later, not in the show, but at the end of June where the top 10 happens, but you've got to remember there's still residue off that. You still have a number of shows that networks picked up that you have to air, which unfortunately is leading to other things, and we'll get to that when we get to it. But right now, we need to get to, well, it's May, and I don't know if we have an almanac or a leaflet at this point, Jay.
No, we have an almanac. We have an almanac. Tomorrow, Thursday, is the well-anticipated premiere of the Amazon Prime Fox duo show called The 1% Club, which is an adaptation of the British show co-produced by Fox and, I believe, Amazon Prime, right? I believe right. That is correct. Another Price is Right jackpot special and the season premiere of Don't Forget the Lyrics. On Friday is the season premiere of Lingo and The Great American Baking Show. Saturday is the season premiere of High Stakes Poker. Monday is American Ninja Warrior Couples Championship. Oh my God, Fashoon, the season finale already? Really?
Yeah, okay. It's been 4 weeks. I remember 4 weeks ago we were talking about it, and now here it is. Oh. Mm. Yeah, our thoughts exactly, Mr. Motorist.
Yes. Yeah, so on Tuesday, which is the unofficial National Game Show Day, what a bit. We got the America's Got Talent season premiere, Beat Shazam season premiere, The Quiz with Balls, and the new two-buzzer premiere episodes of The Price is Right from the Barker era. Yes?
Correct.
Okay. Then on next Wednesday is MasterChef Generations, okay, and then The Price is Right Superfans Junior Special. That should be fun.
That
wow.
Should be fun.
Like
see what they do with that.
Right, and again, not that it's busy, but we need to talk about that app, though.
You know, it's rather apropos this week that the theme song to Dat Apto is Starcade, because
right. This
has to do with video games.
Okay.
So
little Pixel Nation crossover?
Yeah. Old and Busted, answering questions on your phone for money. New Hotness, playing
right. Video
games on your phone for money.
For money.
Okay, what's the app for that?
It is called Portal 1 Arcade, and what it works is there are 5 games on the app. There's Blockbuster, which is sort of like a 3D version of Angry Birds.
Right.
There's The Beat, which is a rhythm simulator. There's Portal 1 Rally, which is sort of a derby-type driving simulator.
Right.
And then there are new twists on 2 classics.
Okay.
Breakout and Centipede.
Okay.
And what happens is, every night, one of those games is chosen to be played live by an in-studio guest. And if you beat that person's score, you are entered into a drawing to win $20. Or you could play any of the games, and if you land on the top 10, you will win $10, except for this featured game of the day, where if you land at the number 1 spot, you will win $100. And there is one lucky winner who will win $200. Just for showing up.
Okay. I mean, again, small. I give it a shot. I think that's really kind of a smart idea.
I think it's a smart idea for another reason. You're not overpricing your game. You're putting down a budget that is feasible. You may give away some bucks, but it won't kill your budget. So I think very smart idea.
Yes, and it's available right now at Google Play and the App Store. You can find out more information at portal1.com. That is portalone.com.
Actually, is it Portal? I just want to make sure Portal 1 Portal1.com. And there's also a, yeah, it's called the Arcade Show is the name of the live show.
Every night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock
and Central. Yeah, Central. That's a smart idea. This, not so smart.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than Madison Cowan? Okay. Now, Gordon was the one who kept us on to this. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So last week, he was evicted. He was evicted from his New York City apartment because a great American once said, "The rent is too damn high." No, seriously. He has ordered judges ordered Madison Cowan to move out of his apartment in Brooklyn. He's been living in a one-bedroom sublet in Brooklyn where the rent is $2,750 a month. That is too damn high in his defense. But according to his landlord, he has not paid a dime since January 2020.
Well, yeah, not good.
Yeah, he insisted he couldn't afford to pay. His livelihood was seriously impacted by the pandemic. And now
that's also understood.
Yeah, and now the publicity surrounding his rent has made it worse. He can't get a job. And basically, his attorney or an attorney in housing law says to ABC7, if someone doesn't care about their credit, if someone doesn't care about physically being thrown out, it'll take 2 years. It could take longer. A landlord has to be prepared to endure that type of tenant. But by and large, Cowan has 2 weeks to move out or face eviction once more. Yeah.
Okay.
And ouch.
Yeah, that's ouch. But let's talk about some haterade. And I found this particular thing.
Haterade!
So, you remember last summer's show, The Prank Panel, speaking of strike programming?
Yep.
Okay. Johnny Knoxville is being sued for negligence and battery by Daniel Curry, who, this is from Entertainment Weekly, a former employee of that show and Eric Andre's writing partner, over a 2022 incident where Johnny Knoxville allegedly chased down and tased Daniel Curry and did so without provocation. And the incident caused him to experience freezing, losing all motor skills, and collapsing with his entire body in a rigid and tense state. And then he ultimately broke a fibula and tore a ligament in his ankle. He also were sued ABC Signature and Jimmy Kimmel's production company, Blacklist. According to the complaint, 25 people witnessed the incident and damaged his career. So, not... in the words of Homer Simpson, money is going to be exchanged for goods and services.
Yes. There's
more.
Oh, what? Do we have a? You said we had a late breaking one. You talked about that earlier.
I did. So here's the late breaking one.
Oh, I should probably play the breaking news sounder, shouldn't I?
So, we all know about Venus on Survivor.
Uh-huh.
So, she goes off. She is not exactly a big fan of the Empire State Building.
Oh, boy.
Oh?
And she basically went after the Empire State Building.
Oh, dear.
So... she insulted the Empire State Building. This is from Us Magazine. She insulted the Empire State Building in a post via X on Wednesday, May 22nd. The Empire State Building is low-key ugly, y'all, said Venus. The Empire State Building sent a tweet back saying, "How's that idol treating you?"
Nice! Good job!
happened?
Ooh. Yeah.
So, just a little funsy.
Oh, well, Venus actually doubled down. You want to hear this?
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
She
doubled down writing a bleak, bricked, bad-built Butch building at Empire State Building, then sharing a picture of her at Rockefeller Center. By the way, that is parodying a House of Representatives. No, the Crockett, the woman who said.
Oh, Jasmine Crockett.
Yes. So Venus. By the way, Brooklyn is very nice this time of year. Come to Coney Island. Have a Nathan's hot dog. There's no big sky. Well, there is a couple of big skyscrapers. They won't insult you much. But where are we sending?
Show me on the diagram where the skyscraper hurt you.
Ha! So where are we sending Madison Cowan, Johnny Knoxville, and Venus?
We are going to the land down under.
Okay.
If anybody from Australia is listening, I am so sorry.
There you are.
No, you're not.
All right. So in the case of the Australian version of Gladiators, it is grand opening, grand closing. Mm-hmm. After one season, Australia is set to cancel American or Australian Gladiators. That is on Channel 10. And that comes as the network, because the network is owned by Paramount. And according to recent posts over on TV Tonight and Reddit, Gladiators is the latest show to be canceled on Channel 10, and there will be more.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right, and that's what I think that's what I was talking about. Because the Masked Singer Australia is gone, and the Bachelor Australia is gone.
Correct, and also correct.
That's where I was going with it. I apologize for that. But yeah, so we need to talk about some media pros.
I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Reba is hosting the ACMs on Prime Video, or has done so. Grant the Young uses a chair and lets it rip and explains why he's using a chair. Ari Shapiro has been tapped to host season 2 of The Mole on Netflix. We lost Dan.
And by the way, Amy Schneider used one too. Why are you not talking about her? Hmm?
You're just an instigating little.
Yeah,
aren't
today.
You?
Yeah, I am. Go ahead.
Okay. We lost Dabney Coleman this week at the age of 92. He was on episodes of Tattletales. Ryan Sutter makes a whole lot of cryptic posts on his Insta and then says he and Trista are fine. Giving off mixed signals there, Ryan. Valerie Bertinelli is taking a mental health break from social media. Alfonso Ribeiro says the Fresh Prince is the best and worst thing that could have possibly happened to him.
True.
Calls working on the UK version of the 1% Club bad. Anne Robinson confirms that she is seeing the Queen's ex. Yeah.
What?
Camilla Parker Bowles' ex-husband.
Okay.
Is now hanging out with
Anne Robinson. Anne okay.
Robinson. Okay. Kate Upton will be hosting Dress My Tour with musical guest judges Paula Abdul, JT of the City Girls, and Ty Dolla $ign, Tony Braxton, Coy Leray, French Montana, and Jesse James Decker. And Sal Volcano is terrified for you two. But,
he should be.
And Guy Fieri lost 30 pounds while...
And looks great, by the way.
Looks really good. And Shaq worries about being replaced because, from what I understand, inside the NBA is not long for this world.
Not for next season, correct, yes.
Yeah, which sucks because they're awesome. Anyway, they're not your pro of the week, and it's rather obvious because Katy Perry moving on to the next big thing.
Really? That's not mine. Not mine.
Well, who's yours?
Mine is Victoria Groch for winning Jeopardy! Masters in convincing fashion. I mean, Katy Perry is just another judge on a talent show that has really no influence anymore. Victoria Groch...
By the way, Jeopardy's ratings are higher than American Idol's.
Yes. All right. I'll buy that.
And I will also add Yogesh Rout and James Holzhauer to that as well. Those three, the finalists, gave us incredible Jeopardy. And they're going to be back next year. I can't wait to see who they defend against. That's going to be terrific.
Yeah, and like we always say, there are masters made every day. So don't be surprised.
And by the way, if you want to even get there, here's a little plug for you. Take the Anytime test. You can do this. Don't be that person, and we talk about this occasionally, right, Chico? Don't be that person who says, oh, I could do this.
One thing we hate more than anything is armchair Jeopardy warriors.
Right.
Put up or shut up. The site is right there.
Yes, Jeopardy.com. Look for the Anytime test.
And they're actually casting pop culture Jeopardy, so even if you don't think you're that smart, you can get two of your smart friends to play with you.
Right, exactly. So, do that. So, congratulations. Oh, and congratulations to Katy Perry on her years at American Idol, but also congratulations to the Jeopardy Masters finalists. So.
And those are your hosts.
And that's Brandon. And that's Brain Vision. I'm going to shut it down. The button's about right here. I'm bringing in the super toilet because we've got more push or flush action right after this here on 5-1 Studios. This is We Love to Interrupt. We will be right back.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by the Honey Badger. Not just because of the goat, because really, it's great for the greatest of all time, but you still have to care about being social, which doesn't necessarily make you the greatest of all time. Because the Honey Badger, well, the Honey Badger don't give up something.
There you go.
Yes, like that. That is Honey Badger, who doesn't give a bleep.
Yes.
Thank you, Chico.
Well, you know what I give up about? Yeah. My super toilet, or our super toilet, excuse me.
Yeah.
I do not mean to be possessive.
This is our toilet here, you see. It is.
Yeah, and from looking at this list, it might get a flush or two.
The flush is only one element of the story. There's also the push on the other side, and then there's the pastry, the piggle, and the jiggle in between.
Well, let's start it with on June 11th. On Peacock, Love Island USA Season 6. Flush on principle. Sorry.
Yep, same here.
Don't you like to see the scantily clad dude? Nah, whatever. Flush.
As a matter of fact, I do. Just not here. Anyway.
Right. One, two, three. Flush! did you notice I got... Did you notice I put in the ocean fresh flavor for the start of summer?
Oh, yes. It smells very nice, very tropical.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to use it on this one. This is season 11 of Alone on History. Not my cup of tea, but one of the better survivor-type shows on TV. A very strong pastry.
It is a push from me. I mean, you don't get 11 seasons on History in a bubble. It is a show that works because the people on it work.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think casting is very important. But I also agree more with Jay on this. It is a little bit too unstructured for me. But I do like it. It's compelling programming. Pastry.
Okay.
Next one.
June 17th. On PBS. The Great American Recipe, Season 3. It's a good cooking show. Not necessarily a great one, but again, solid pastry.
Very solid cooking show on PBS, and it's going to Season 3. It's a pastry for me.
Make it three puffies. Pastry okay. For me also.
Ooh, I don't have any puppies, sorry.
No, we don't. He wanted puff pastry because
I have some profiteroles.
Very good. June 20th, back to History again. Alone Australia, Season 2. Second verse, same as the first, pastry.
Same, pastry.
Pastry.
Next.
Singing profiteroles.
Yes. June 28th on Netflix. Ta-dum. It is Season 2 of The Mole. Not a fan of this show as I should be. I'm going to piggle it. It's in the middle for me.
I'm going to go with a pastry because it seems like absence has made the heart grow fonder. And we've been waiting 2 years for a new season of The Mole. We went through 3 seasons of The Circle before we got Season 2 of The Mole, believe it or not. So, yeah, it's a pastry for me.
Find the sexiest eye candy. There's your mole, Jiggle.
Okay. All right, next one.
Speaking of sexy eye candy.
Yeah, July 8th. Jen Tran, I believe her name is the 21st Bachelorette and I believe the first Asian American. Yes, it's not going to help, but I'm not going... You know what? F it. I'm going to flush it. I just can't.
I, you know me and The Bachelor. You know me and Bachelor Nation. I flush on principle. And it's not going to change simply because the lady has a good heart and is about to make history. So, yes. I am flushing.
I get it. I get that why they want to do it. I'm not going to flush it, though. Sorry. Because there is, shall we say, a reason, circumstance, a precedent. Look at what they did with The Golden Bachelor. If it's a kinder, gentler Bachelor show, and I don't believe that I am saying this,
is
but
it
people
though?
Can actually, I don't know, but people could actually learn something from this. I piggle?
Wow, okay. No, I understand where Gordon is coming from, you see. Because even though The Golden Bachelor was an epic fail, the tone of the show was different. And if the
how can you call it an epic fail from a ratings perspective? You can't.
No, I'm talking about from
the
ratings.
Fail of the Bachelor franchise.
I'm talking about the romance part of it. I'm not talking about
When is the romance part in The Bachelor ever a success?
Rarely, if ever. And usually not on the show. Okay.
It's like saying right now American Idol is going to find the next Mega Million superstar, or The Voice for that matter. And it's probably they're all grazing in the same place where I left my pet unicorn.
Okay, fine. Finally, July 9th. Celebrity Family Feud Season 11.
We gonna play,
I don't get
Steve.
It. Yeah, we gonna play, Steve. It's gonna be dirty. There's gonna be celebrities. It's gonna be fun. Push.
Big push from me. I can't wait.
Of course, it's a push.
Fanfare as we end. Now I have a question. Is this one more round or...
Yeah, one more round, and it's happening next week. And then it's time to kill the toilet.
All right. Well, while the super toilet is being polished for one last ride for the summer, we get to do a speed round. We will do that right after this here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We will see you momentarily.
WLTI has been brought to you by Grizzlebee's Memorial Day Spectacular. Featuring Mole. But it's Mole.
Mole. And, Mole. I get it. Yes, very good. Yes.
Very good. And the Circle of Pancakes. Because we have to have yummy pancakes. That is Grizzlebee's. You wish you have less fun.
Yay.
Oh, and by the way, before we get to the speed round, okay, I think we need to just do one little thing, if that's okay. We actually have an Emmy Award winner in our midst. Do you know this? Our good friend Jess Brand from the BS Big Show, an occasional contributor here, was part of the staff of the National Sports Emmy Women MLB Tonight show. The National Sports Emmys were given out this week, and she is actually getting an Emmy. So we have an Emmy Award winner on staff. So good for her. Excellent job.
So this means we actually are the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Sort of, yes, that's true. But we also need to have an award-winning speed round, and let's do that now. We are at 8,000 episodes this week on Big Money. Are we actually going to give away any big money?
I think we're going to save the best for last, but I don't think it's going to be that big. There's going to be substantial, but not too big.
Okay.
Okay, Jeopardy. We've already crowned a super champion, Grant DeYoung. Are we going to be in Wheel of Champs for the time being?
I don't know. We'll see. Again, we've got another, 6 weeks? 7 weeks? No, two months, right?
2 months.
Okay,
end of July.
Okay, cool. And, we'll see. We'll see how many super champs we get.
Okay, at 7 shows left in Wheel of Fortune, are we gonna get a millionaire?
We're not 7, we've got, 10, really. 10? Yeah.
We're gonna get a millionaire! Ryan Seacrest, this September, when he hosts more food.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Okay, by the way, Andrea Paris Van Michaels was cut off at the end of the second episode of Drag Race. How is this gonna play out next week?
I don't know, because the being cut off is sort of like the plunger from season 7. So we'll see. Again, I'm more interested to see how the season 7 format plays out. And I'm liking the fact that we have all that, you know?
I like it as well.
So, do we have any mail?
We do not have any mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on all social media, GameShowNewsNet. You can follow me on social media at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at, excuse me, Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end. Excuse me.
And I am GSNN Hatery.
And, of course, the network is at 5&1net. That is 5&1net. We talk about anything and everything network-wide on our social platforms, including the BS Big Show, where myself, JB, Ian McClellan, and VRM talked the schedule, among other things. And there are still more things to talk about, like, and this may be like a post-OTA, pre-draft sort of episode coming in the next couple of months, because some stuff went down, right?
Well, I mean, again, well, the OTAs are happening. We're, you know, certain players are attending, certain players aren't. We haven't gotten the holdouts yet, because we all know there will be, that they want to get paid. But actually, there was breaking, there may be breaking news coming regarding college.
Yeah, I will keep an ear to the ground for that. Meanwhile, tell us what's going on the NAWC, Jay.
Well, the NAWC is doing a show tomorrow night because on Saturday we have King and Queen of the Ring from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We're actually having our first SmackDown from Saudi Arabia. There's also a pay-per-view on AEW called Double or Nothing, which is probably what Tony Khan will have to do to raise the money to keep the show afloat. Anyway, we'll be talking about that. And we also have a potential announcement for where SummerSlam is going to be 2 years from now. There is a rumor to that effect. And it's going to be a two-night affair for the first time ever. So that's going to be interesting. And, of course, we'll cover all the wrestling news and et cetera. And The Rock looking unrecognizable as an MMA fighter. So there's that. Gordon, are we still in the UBA right now? What's going on?
UBA right now. Well, believe it or not, even though it is, even though we have Memorial Day weekend, we still have matches going on. We've got a bunch of World Championship Series action, including the number one contenders match for tag team.
Yes.
Okay.
That's cool. And of course, UBA UBAtoday.info for all your Underground of Bowling Association needs, and excuse me, caffeine.tv, yes? Caffeine.tv for all your live action. Chico, it was a thing.
Okay, so it's after midnight here on the East Coast, so we just dropped a new episode. In the middle of Pilot Month, we talked about Red Dwarf USA, and then before that, we had an instant reaction at the EA Sports College Football 25 trailer, which is absolutely bonkers. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you go see it. But the new episode is Greg's Money in the Bank. What happens when a genie is freed from a magic lamp and decides to cause all sorts of mischief? Well, Richard Gilliland finds out when he lets TK Carter out in the short-lived Just Our Luck, which actually spawned a single for one of your favorite bands from the 80s, Jay, Climax.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
So that's at itwasathingontv.com.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I guess we're going to go ahead and close up shop here. We're going to talk more Top Chef, more Drag Race. We're going to talk about, we're going to review two shows. We're going to review
the 1% Club.
1% Club, and what else are we going to review?
Some other show. Well, you'll figure it out. You'll have to come back next week to listen.
Oh, the Quiz with Balls. That's what it is.
Ah, yes. Quiz with Balls. Right.
As we celebrate a brand new season with the day after National Game Show Day here on the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast. We're Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1 Studios. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
Good night.